Welcome to Singled Out, the ninth best Guild Ball podcast. Please stand by.
Welcome to episode 76. In this episode, Andrew interviews Jason Mountain about some 4 Union for some quality content. Today's listener is James Long. Congratulations on getting married, dude.
Hello, welcome to Singled Out, episode 76. Today we have a guest on to talk about the Union. Hello, Jason.
All right, mate, how you doing?
How are you? All right, the listeners then, who are you? Where do you come from?
Is this your attempt at being whimsical, Andrew?
Well, normally we're experts on to talk about their guild and, you know, we interview them, ask them who they are and stuff. So I thought I'd ask you the same thing.
Oh, so we've got another Jason coming on then to be the expert.
So how are you?
I'm good. My name's Jason. I'm the host of Singled Out.
And it's funny because it's true.
This episode, I'll mostly be interviewing myself, which is no different.
You're good. Talk
yeah, I've got one of those hip hop auto tuners, so I can reverb over myself.
Gives me like a beatboxer and sort of do a backing track.
That's it. I am the Guild Ball equivalent of Ra's-El.
I get the reference.
It's a popular hip-hop culture reference. I'm good. How are you? Tell me about your life. What have you been up to? You've played some Season 4.
I've smashed out 5 games in 2 days, which is more than normally played in a month.
More than you did in Season 3.
It probably is, yeah. I've been smashing out some scalpel games. I want to say to everyone on the internet that she is terrible and you shouldn't play her.
Well, she is, but not in the context. Like, poor grammar has... miscontextualized her there. She is terrible, a terrible nightmare.
She's pretty fun. Certainly,
she's wicked.
Yeah,
she is wicked.
Thing is, like, if you want to use her as a super fast murder girl, like she was in Season 3, you can do that. And at the same time, you can readjust her entire hopes and dreams in one go, and then run away.
Morticians are in a super strong place right now.
Even though she hasn't got second wind anymore, effectively on her last attack, she can sort of dodge an inch back, and then push herself 2 inches back, and then move back 4 inches. So she hasn't got a second wind anymore, but at the end of her activation, if you want to, you can engineer a 7-inch dodge backwards.
Although this will sound pedantic, but if you are a new listener or whatever, she has actually got second wind. Character play second wind has changed.
Yeah,
it's just you might confuse people.
Yeah,
they'll be looking at their cards going,
but she has got,
second wind. Second wind.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Obviously before second wind was a free jog, now it's a 4-inch dodge. But with a combination of purpose rings and her dodges anyway, she can do a 7-inch dodge backwards anyway.
I'd say it's arguably stronger now as well.
Well, it's dodge, isn't it?
Yeah, which means she can even do it when she's knocked down. And it's not subject to movement penalties. So even if she's been caught in a net, snared, gotten strong, burned. I mean, I don't know what guild she's playing against to have all of this done to her. But... maybe they've all ganged up on her. She can still go her sanguine pool. She can still dodge 4 inches.
I've been using her with Casket and Ghast a few times because mm-hmm. they're quite a fun duo to have together.
Fun is so subjective.
I have fun. I used Cosset once. She's quite a good laugh. I've used a bit of Vet Graves, a bit of Normal Graves. I've used Valswarm a fair bit and it's been a good time.
Yeah, but you haven't mentioned Hemlock yet.
I have used her as well, of course.
I was going to say, you really should.
Yes, Hadwin is fine. I've been using her because she's great.
It's just they're like turn one. They've got so many options now. Like if you kick, you can either kick with the captain and have so much threat range, or you can kick with the captain and use Hemlock and get so much threat range, or you can kick with the captain, use Hemlock, and then use Cosset to lure and then move Cosset away. They've just got so much stuff going on.
I've used Bonesaw once to score two goals in two activations, effectively. End of turn one, beginning of turn two, two goals of Bonesaw, knocked them in. It's pretty good. Tackle on one hit, pretty good. Tackle five.
Where was his tackle? Was always, was it on one or was it on two?
No, it was on two before, on tack four, because miserable. It's now on tack five.
Oh, yes, of course.
So it's just much
better. Yeah, he's really good now.
It's a Mendes as well now, so, well, before I think, but it was tack four before. So
I think the big loser is, I think the big loser in Guild's brain, pan and memory.
I still think they're pretty good as sort of, if you want to have a bit of a fight and not someone have someone exposed who's going to die, but I think the problem with them is that they're quite influence heavy. I still think they're good, and they're good at fighting and stuff, and they can do things. I don't think they're a bad choice, but I think
they're all right at fighting.
Yeah,
I don't think they're good at fighting.
He's going to be attacked. He's got momentum wherever he does, isn't he? Which is a good start.
But if he's gone,
it's difficult though, isn't it? Because finding space for them, I think, is hard. I used them once, and they were fun, but I think it's hard to find space for them in the team. It's
off
on anyway.
No, I totally agree. I find it that they don't even make my 12 at the moment, let alone the 6.
Because once you've got in a Graves of your choice, and once you've got in sort of Casket, and so on and so on and so on, Hemlock. I think having a Graves is always an option, one of the two.
I think you pretty much always want a Graves and Hemlock, so that's two of your four already done.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't see any reason to ever not take Hemlock. I mean, to be honest, I don't see a reason to not take A. Graves.
It's certainly.
But I can see arguments.
Hemlock's certainly so useful to have in it. Yeah.
Out of activation movement is just such an amazing ability on its own, and the fact it only costs one. The fact that she's also a 2-inch melee model with a momentous. I think it's momentous, or is hers non-momentous? Anyway, no, she's got a momentous tackle on one, isn't she? It is momentous. She's just got such a suite of skills.
Also, you know, momentum still on three hits with a crowd, which you can get in what suddenly she can do not bad damage.
Yeah, I don't think that's kind of like a plan C, but yes, I agree, it is there.
It's not going to be your main aim with her, because I'd be mental to say it is, but if you have some influence on her and you need it, you know. I'm also guessing you use it as your mate, as your beta, because I'd be mental saying that. But yeah, and also, you know, pocket little striker as well if you need it. Give her three.
I think it's a shame about. I do think it's a shame about Brain Pan and Memory, because I think when they came out, I remember when we did the interview way back when, because they came out with Pint Pot and Vet Ox, and it was back then that I was like kind of excited to play Morticians again, and I must admit I played them a little bit after, not a whole great deal, but now I just, they're still really unique in what they do and really interesting, but I just don't see them getting in. I just see like, other players have just got better or support the captains better than they do. And again, it comes back down to, as you've just said, like influence.
Yeah, it does that to you, because you want to give Scalpel a full stack, don't you?
Well, yeah, Scalpel wants a full stack. I mean, Obulus doesn't always need it, but he probably gets it. Yeah, it's just hard finding, unless you get some good influence cards or perhaps you get some early goals, but you can't. Yeah, I don't know. Like I say, they just don't make a 12 at the moment. I'd probably drop them in one of the mascots and Pelage.
Pelage is, I think, have I used every model in Mort so far? At least once. I've used... Yeah, so basically the past 5 games, I've used every model once, apart from Pelage.
Mm.
And I don't think I've ever actually used her, so I might give her a try just to see what she does. I mean, I obviously know what she's on the card, but I'm not particularly convinced by her.
I think she's handy, but she kind of wants to get stuck in and do a scrum, but I don't really feel like that's not Scalpel's game. And, excuse me... I'm not sure that she goes with Obulus, because I'm not sure, he probably prefers a scrum a little bit more, but I just don't think she fits in. She doesn't fit for me. There'll be other...
I mean, to me, singled out is nice, but on two hits, attack five isn't great.
Especially as Dirge has got it on one hit and is attack three now. I don't know what the exact maths is, but if I was going to go for it on Dirge, because his is momentous and hers isn't, is it?
No, hers is momentous, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I like her no momentum from being damaged thing, but that seems to me like planning for failure a bit.
I think the other thing with, like, the strange thing about who are we talking about? Pelage having singled out is that she wants the model to be singled out so that she can hit it. Whereas if she's spending an attack to single it out, it feels like after that, the singled out kind of probably becomes a net gain of nothing, because the extra hits that you get over the course of the next three attacks probably do the same damage that one attack would have done anyway.
Yeah, I kind of want, if I wanted sort of a murderer, a fast murderer, I play a bit cross it. I mean, I know they do sort of different things, but if we're wrong, please tell us why and show you working. Ideally, some kind of graph.
Tweet Andrew.
That's right, folks, tell me. But I think
here is your sword.
I like her sort of cloak of rats and things, but then again, I don't know. She wants to be in a scrum, and I don't think she's great in the scrum. So hey, I'm gonna try and see how it goes. So that's our Mortis talk. But we're here to talk about Union, aren't we? Now, it might be a shock to our listeners, but you've played Union a few times.
I've played them once or twice. I've played them once or twice in season four as well.
So we thought we'd have a season four Union episode. So here we are. So let's talk about them and have some quality content. So are we going to just have an hour of Blackheart talk, or are we going to go through the guild in turn, or should we go through your guild six that you like to use, how you use them, or how do you do this? I'll let you discuss this.
Well, that would make a change, wouldn't it? Season four, new podcast. We can have an overview. I think I'm sure Guild Ball tonight did a much more in-depth and chat about it with a games designer, but we can go for an overview and just how we think they play now. Like, I mean, I think fundamentally they are one of the guilds that have changed the least out of all of the guilds in season four. Like, I feel like they got some very nice and underrated perks here and there, but I think they perhaps, whereas other guilds got some exciting changes like Salvo, like Scalpel, Scather, Boiler, Ox, I feel like the Union changes are perhaps not as exciting. So I think this is something I found, like, if you have a long-term Union player like myself, you may find yourself not as excited about your guild as other players of their own guilds will be in season four. And that's not because I think Union needed big changes. They didn't. They were in a very strong place last season, and I think they are still competitive and good this season. I think that there's matchups that they were strong into last season, that perhaps, and probably fairly, are harder matchups now. I mean, if you look at both the captains, like Blackheart didn't change at all, which, despite my hashtag momentous tackle dodge for Blackheart Twitter campaign, apparently didn't gain enough momentum for Perkins to make it so.
Maybe in season 5, you never know.
Season 5, yeah. Rage changed a little bit, but, I mean, superficially, like, he lost Usurper, which I think it was a nice little buff, but it will have reduced value as the season goes on, because less guilds will have access to Union, and it'll get to the point where it's only usable in the mirror match anyway. And I think you'll see less mirror matches in this season anyway, because there'll be more guilds, more options, and so on and so forth. And his tackle going to the fourth column, although it probably makes sense, the fact that his tackle was on one. So yeah, I'm okay with that. I don't think their game plan, I don't think the way they play or their game plan has changed at all in season four. I think Blackheart will be seen as more usable than he was before because of changes to other models within the guild.
You think so?
So yes, yeah, so I think the captains. Sorry.
Why is that?
Because Little Rage, who got there was one change that I wanted for Union, and I got that change, so I can't complain. And that was Little Rage losing Maverick. So that makes him, Maverick before meant that he couldn't benefit from any character plays or traits from other models, and now he can, which means like Blackheart can do things like put Butchery on a model. He can get On My Mark through him. He can use his Legendary on him. It also means that Rage can use his tooled up through Benediction, which means you can hold Rage back longer before committing him. He can benefit from, like, I can just list all of the character plays in the guild. But I think that's significant for Blackheart, because I think Blackheart in more matchups than not wants Rage there. So by making Rage more useful or efficient, however you want to word it, only benefits Blackheart.
Yeah, I mean, giving Rage a 2-inch dodge on Legendary and giving him Butchery seems pretty good in itself before you add anything else to it.
Yeah, or making him defense 5, being able to use second wind on him, so and now it's a dodge, you can just disengage, charge back in, benefiting from the turtles, or it's just, yeah, it just frees him up a lot. And it does actually make a massive difference. I think I've managed to get, is it 15 dice charge? Yeah, I think I've had a 15 dice charge with Little Rage now, with confidence on.
How's that?
Yeah. It seemed fine. It seemed fair and balanced.
How much damage does that cause then?
I can't remember, but quite a lot, because it's a... I can't remember. I think I got a double wrap.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like... It was probably Momentous 3, Momentous 3, Momentous 2, or Momentous 1. So, like, you know, you're talking a good sort of 7, 8 damage, which, you know, still isn't huge amounts compared to what other teams are doing right now. And I think that's where, I think perhaps that's one of the things where Union certainly initially feel like they struggle a bit in Season 4 compared to where they did in Season 3, is there's other guilds that just have more output now and more squaddies that can just one round models that perhaps makes Union not quite as fighty as they were, a little bit behind.
So then we have to more plan upon a sort of 2-2 game than a game of Riders.
Yeah, I think so. I think definitely Union, I think you definitely do have to look at how you play that game now. I mean, going on to the 2-2 game, like missed, lost Shadowlike from Motivated, which is okay, because he gained a momentous tackle, which is also kind of benefits Blackheart a lot, because as people will know from my before-mentioned Twitter campaign, Blackheart sometimes struggles to get the ball back, so he likes to have models around him that are better at doing it, and now Mist is better than he ever was at getting it back, or more efficient. He still gets it back exactly the same as he did, but now that it's momentous, it means like he doesn't just get boned by close control.
Yeah, for sure. Going on to captains then, obviously we won't spend an hour talking about Blackheart's playbook in itself, but so do you want to talk about why, when you choose Blackheart or Rage for a team, because you take both captains, don't you, to Torment?
Always.
What makes you choose each captain in a match?
I think it changes a little bit for me in Season 4. Not huge amounts, but there's certainly, I'm not sure into Butchers yet. I feel like it's probably still a Rage matchup, but I haven't played it yet, so I need to experiment. But I think like into Alchemists, I'd take Blackheart now, whereas it used to be Rage. Engineers, I'd take Blackheart. Double Rising Anger makes it really hard for them to do condition damage, because they can't target, or they could target Rage and they could target Harry, but you're only giving them me the momentum to heal them.
Oh, I see.
And clear conditions. So I used to play them into quite range control heavy teams like Hunters and Engineers as well, but also with the point of momentum for going for the kickoff now, and Grace being able to heal 3 with her AoE, I feel like that's less of a concern. So whereas Blackheart's mobility with his dodges off his playbook and 2-inch melee means that he can just feels like he can get around more and get to where he needs to get to.
So I mean, Blackheart of course is a model used an awful lot. I mean, I guess if you want
to, once or twice.
If you want to know about him a lot, just listen to the last sort of 70 episodes singled out. You probably get most of it there.
If I was to quickly go through, I would say Alchemists, Blackheart. I'll try and do it in alphabetical order. Alchemists, Blackheart, Blacksmiths, Rage, Butchers, I think might be a kick received decision. Brewers, I think now that they've lost the range game, I think I'd probably be happy playing either, so that's probably a kick receive decision. B, C, D, E, Engineers, so I could do the alphabet. Engineers, Blackheart, Fish was always Blackheart, Farmers was always Blackheart, Morticians, Blackheart, but Scalpel's just damn scary. Masons, I know that comes before, probably still Rage, and then Union would be Rage. Minor Guilds, Falconers, probably Blackheart, because they've got low health pools and not great armor. Order, don't mind. Navigators, don't want to play them. Ratcatchers, Blackheart.
So Navigator says no. He's going to go on them. Okay, strong plan.
Don't need a plan for them because I'm not going to play against them.
Oh, simple. Almost too easy.
Yeah. So that was our first season 4 podcast. Thanks for listening.
Cheers. Bye. I mean, when you play Blackheart, do you have a plan in mind for him? Just roll the dice. Do you go more goal heavy with him at first, or do you try and just swap and, I guess, leave him late in the turn at first and try and? I'm trying to explain to people who don't watch your videos or podcasts all the time to actually how we play him, rather than just saying, "Oh yeah, listen to us all the time to find out."
Well, if you ask Mike Klein, he'll tell you that you just roll good dice. Like, just say, I'm just going to kill this model and do it. He's got so many tools that it's hard to describe a plan of Blackheart because he literally has got all the tools. Like, Rage's plan is a lot more simpler. It's like, hold on to the ball, control the pace, slowly murder their players, and then score. Whereas Blackheart, I know people probably want more, and it's probably better if they do want more to message Andrew, who'll pass the question on. I don't ever really have a plan with Blackheart. It's just because he can do
it. Does his dodge around, basically almost like Will, means you can just flexibly do what you want when you need to. I mean, I guess looking from the outside, having never actually used the guy, I guess his one issue is his tackle isn't great. Other than that, he has damage fairly easily obtainable, especially with tooled up. And
everything else. Yeah, it's not. This is it. I mean, if you're going for fighting, then you have to go with tooled up first. He's got to be tooled up, or else he just won't do anything particularly, unless you've got a load of crowd outs. But even like his tackle's not great, but as long as you get a success, you're getting a point of momentum from his momentous dodge, so you can always bonus time it. So you should never be trying to tackle on less than 7 dice.
His playbook's interesting because it seems to me like he wants to charge in some ways because the end of his playbook's pretty good, isn't it?
Well, it's basically the first 3 columns of his playbook are for when he's trying to play football, and the last 3 columns are for when he's trying to fight. Because the first 3 columns, you've got the on my mark to move the ball from another player. You've got the dodges that are momentous to move him around. And then the later columns of his playbooks are where you've got the knockdowns, the butchery, and the 3 damages.
That's sweet, sweet 3 damage knockdown at the end.
Yeah, I know. The only frustrating thing about that is when you hit a model, apply it, then hit it again, you're like, I'll just double knock you down.
On my mark, being a 3-cost character play for 3 hits is pretty decent. I mean, I guess you have a lot to get around sort of people's dodges and stuff.
It's also really good for like sitting the ball back a little bit and then getting 6-point activations by killing a model with doing the 2 damage on my mark, then taking the pass, then dodging forwards, then using his legendary, and then walking. And then you let James take his inhaler.
The thing about him is that, like, he moves around for, I don't know, 10 minutes of basically you jumping around, and then he goes, oh, I haven't moved yet, that's all dodges. And you go,
that's it.
He's quite slow on paper, isn't he? 4-6, isn't he? On paper, he's very slow. 4-6 shadow-like, isn't he?
Yeah, so it's actually 6-8.
Yeah, so 6-8, so he's okay, but it's much more than that.
I've done scary amounts of dodges with him. I think one of the other big changes now is that the roster size going to 12 really helps Union, because it means like you can take both mascots and not feel like you're strangling a slot for a more utility player.
Yeah, so going into that then, Strongbox was season 3 for a long time almost everywhere, and then Coins be coming back, I think.
Yeah, I think Strongbox is the only model other than, I think, the only model other than Vet Rage who just got straight worse, and Avarice and Greed is an arguable change. Possibly Hemlock, you could argue the change. His kick went from 2-4 to 1-4. So his stats just got straight worse, whereas Coin got his 2-inch melee back and gained a kick dice.
So when do you use each one, each mascot?
I think, pretty simply, I'll take Coin if I think there's going to be a scrum. So probably something against Blacksmiths where I want to play defensive and then wait for one of their models to come in and then just crowd them out and optimise that activation. So get the extra momentum, get the extra attack. Excuse me. And probably in certain matchups when kicking, because confidence on Mist when kicking or Blackheart when kicking is just money. And Coin, if I've got bad influence cards. So if the game plans, I've got a lot of minus influence cards, or if I think the game's going to be spread out.
So, now you've got a 12-person roster rather than a 10-person roster. I guess the choice really is now who you leave out, isn't it? rather than who put in.
Yeah, this is where I think, for me personally, not that the Union, I think, necessarily struggled in season four, but I think the thing that maybe has deflated me a little bit about season four is that the fringe players are still, for me, exactly the same fringe players. So, like, Everson Greed, I'm still not going to play. Fangtooth is, like, he's nice, and he's definitely better than he was, there's no doubt about that, but I'm still not going to play him. And that's two. Snakeskin, again, didn't really play her. Feel like I'm still not going to play her, even though I don't think she's necessarily better than she was. I think she's more of a sideways change. I think she just is the same, but slightly different, if that makes sense. And then I think ultimately it's probably still Minx or Grace. I feel like the 12th slot, one of those two. And I'd probably go for Grace over Minx.
For the utility of having the heal and...
Yeah, like, and because everyone's like, Mark Target's really good with Minx because it's now 10-inch ranges and it increases your charge range, which is true, but Grace does it without having to hit because she's got quick foot or quick time, whichever one it is, it gives you the +2 move, so you don't have to roll.
So you just have to put on a person while they're targeting.
Exactly. So you just put it on your model as opposed to worrying about her model. And then because, I actually just need to check the wording on this, but because I believe bear with me, being the consummate professional I am, Grace. So impart faith means that her quick foot's always got a range of at least 11 inches and healing light's always got a range of at least, God, a lot. Because she can... When she does a character play, the range can be measured from another model within 6 inches. So it doesn't say that it has to be a character play that targets a friendly model, which is why you can do Healing Light or Quickfoot for her. And also she's just better now as well because she's got a point of armor. But I think, yeah, so for me, like, Minx is efficient, but she's just really fragile.
Yeah, she's 4-1 and 12 boxes. Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not a massive fan. And Snared can just be cleared. And like Mark Target, like you say, you can just move the model away. Like, it's cool for procking Glut Mass at range. It is a good billy, especially now that it's not once per turn. But I think I'd rather just have Grace. Because if you're going to play against a fighty team, you've then got the option of if they try to force a standoff, you've got the option that you can speed your model up. And also, you can heal any... model in your guild 11 HP in a turn or Benediction 13, so she makes your team more resilient as well.
So do you have a not a set six but maybe a locked in a few than a flex, right?
I think that's always, and I probably was going to say always take Rage for, or not first, but Rage will be in there, Mascot depending on kick receive what I'm playing, Mist probably there, and then either Benny and Harry or both, and then Decimate. And then with Rage, it's Gutter's pretty much always in there, Mascot's dependent, then Benny's always in there, so Benny gets a lot of play. Yeah, I don't know, that's one of the strengths of Unions. I don't really feel like they've got locked in. I need to experiment a bit more as well, it's too early to say. Although they haven't changed individually a whole lot, the teams that they're playing into have, and so it's sort of relearning those matchups and what tools I need into those matchups.
So when you've got sort of, I was talking to someone about the other day about Benny versus Harry, and when you do either one, because they kind of do vaguely similar things. I mean, I guess Harry's more of a set of pieces, isn't he, than Benny is.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, Harry's... Yeah, you would take both. I'd take both quite a lot because you stick both of them in front of Rage and then just watch your opponent not be able to kill anything and then slowly push one of their models once a model a turn through the gap of the both and then kill them. Like, Harry's a funny one. Like, his stats only got better. Like, he gained a point of kick. He gained singled out, which is huge. He gained a momentous 2 damage. But he lost Goad. And Goad is so... Like,
it's huge, isn't it?
I wish he had a lost Molotov and kept Goad. Part of me almost... I think I'd almost prefer that he kept Goad over singled out, as crazy as that sounds, but...
Goad is really good.
It's so good, and singled out's non-momentous, which is fine. But if you're playing a Rage team and rage is your output model, you're generally rolling enough dice as it is. So it's just more dice. So I think he might be more useful now that he's lost Goad, because Goad was really great for making sure that models couldn't run away or couldn't get into rage if you didn't want them to. I kind of feel like now he's probably more useful in Blackheart. Now he's gained a point of kick and singled outs, I would say, definitely better on Blackheart than it is on Rage, because Rage's damage is quite linear, like his playbook, the way it's structured. And so obviously more dice means more chance of doing and doing wraps, but Blackheart massively benefits from hitting higher ends of his playbook.
Yeah, every spike's at the end, isn't it?
Yeah, so like you're talking about the difference from like 2 momentous damage to 4 momentous damage, whereas on Rage, like he's doing, once he's got his, if he's got his heroic on himself, he's doing 3 damage on 2 hits anyway. So sure, he can go up to 5 damage at 7, but Blackheart goes from doing like 2 damage on 2 hits to suddenly being pushed up to doing 4, 5. So I feel like he's, and like I say, like the kick and the kick aura, I feel like he's more useful in the Blackheart team now.
I guess the kick being good for your sort of on mark and everything else, move the ball around.
Yeah, I think so. And like, I mean, it can't be understated that like Benediction and Harry both gaining momentous 2 damage on their third columns, I think it is really good for both of them, because it sometimes felt if you're playing both in a rage team, you could lack output models. Whereas now they can both be doing 2 or 3 damage, depending on if the heroic or legendary is on them.
Where do you think the team has problems then, in terms of hard matchups or
not having the ball?
Not having the ball.
Like they still struggle with the same issues, and this is where I think that perhaps they're not quite at the top as they were last season. Is that now, they still have the same problems they had, which is like without the ball, they can struggle to make engagements. Whereas other teams now have more tools when there isn't an engagement. So obviously you've got the Chisile back in Masons, Butchers have got more kind of ranged plays that they can funnel Ox's aura through. Morticians have got crazy tools to break in the standoff, same as Hunters. Like I've found so far, if I don't have the ball, you can be forced to make bad engagements or try and, like, if you're playing against another team that's melee orientated and they've got to come to you or you've got to go to them, it's not so bad. But if they can stand off and out threaten you, like with super fast models, like in Hunters or again, Morticians, I think these are two names that people will ought to get used to hearing in season 4, because I think they're pretty good. Hang on. Just need another drink of gin. Because I do think actually like Hemlock, like the change to blind is significant. Like Hemlock is probably, because the changes to second wind massively, I think, is a benefit actually in general to Union, with because it was jog based, like both captains only had short jogs anyway, so now that it's a dodge, actually
it's just better,
helps them out. Yeah, but it hinders Hemlock because she loses 2 inches of reposition after she's gone in, and because her range is less, that also has the impact that she has to be engaging or closer, and she gained 2 hit points, sure, but she's like still real soft.
You have to be blind now to either kill someone's kickstat or to kill their attack once they're already engaged, but you shouldn't use it early on because she'll get punched in the face.
Yeah, I haven't actually played her in a tournament yet this season, so I'm gonna have to give her some game time and see how that plays out. But yeah, I think they're still solid. You've just got to perhaps change your approach to games now.
So you played them at the weekend, did you?
I did. Yeah. I played them in a in a 4-round tournament. It was good. Lost to Aaron in the final because he's a weapon. Or he's a tool.
So how did you find them in terms of changes? Anything else other than what you said? Or
It's hard to tell because I played against, I think, probably 4 of the most improved guilds. So those matches were always going to feel a lot harder than...
So you were against Hunters in the final, weren't you?
Yeah. Played against Scalpel in round 1. Which is, yeah, I think, a really tough matchup now for Union. I played against Engineers in round 2, which I only, in fairness, won because I think my opponent saw the opportunity to beat me and then made a bad choice. But I was like 10-3 down at one point in that game, so it was not going well. In fact, I was down in round 1. I was down against Barry. What was he? He was... he was like 9-5. I think he was 9-5 up against me at one point. And then round three was against Blacksmiths. And that was comfortable-ish because I knew I had to just stand off and wait for the I had to kick. So I was like, well, there's no point in going charging after the ball and charging in there because I just die, because you've got Sledge and Cinder who just kill the world now. And then, yeah, the final was against Scather. So I think that's three or four of the most improved teams, I reckon. So it was they were tough trials. Well, actually, I didn't play Black Butchers, but yeah, they were all felt like I was pushing water uphill.
Scather, I mean, she looks like a bit of a machine now, right?
She's a nightmare. Her and Scalpel are both just nightmares. Like, I think speed and out of activation repositions are so, so valuable. And Scather being able to be as fast as she is and then being able to use Snowball to get models out of engagement. So particularly against, like, say, a model like Vet Rage that needs a model to be engaged. If you get a model engaged and then she can just snowball them out, then it's just sort of undone what you've tried to do. And the fact that one of her strengths is that she can score goals for fun, and she's got a team full of output models, like in like Yakar and Cena. They just destroy the world.
Yeah, new Cena now looks pretty scary.
Yeah, and because she can sit back and with two influence still really affect the game, so that means that she's giving two influence to her team to go out and have output. So even if you take her out, she can come on like 7 inches now, isn't she? She's 7'9" now.
Oh yeah, she is. Yeah.
So she can come on 7 inches, still be super close to where she needs to be, move, do her fast ground to make other models move quicker, and then snowball someone if she either needs to get them into combat or out of combat. Yeah, she's frightening.
Yeah, I mean, she can do a lot of support, can't she, even without having to do engage herself?
Yeah, she can get her goal and then support and just wait for the opportunity. Yeah, they're hunters are good. Like, anyone who's bought hunters stock is going to get a good return on their investment.
I didn't realise until looking at the card now that Blessing of the Moon Goddess isn't one to turn.
Is that the dodge one?
The double dodge result, yeah.
You can get
more than once.
It's pretty fruity. I learned that you can do Ghostly Visage more than once.
You can.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That changed. It changed in like season 2, I think, or 3. It changed a while ago.
But like also Scather just having like a double dodge and momentous double dodge tackle on one hit is just nuts.
yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, she's pretty good. She's very good. I do like her.
So in that game, you scored out the game pretty fast, did you? It was 12-6.
I had to kick, and then so Aaron got a goal with Scather turn one. I killed Scather at the start of turn two. Then scored, then he got a goal and then managed to kill a player.
How's that?
Yep, and that was that. That was the fastest game of the day.
So how do you think you have to deal with that? That team play different guild or?
Yeah, play morticians.
Play Scather, yeah.
Yeah, that's it, play Scather. No, I don't know. It's very early days. Like, this is the thing, it's I think actually, bizarrely, I was thinking about this earlier, one of the disadvantages or downsides of unions, because they haven't changed a lot, everyone knows what they do, whereas everything else, not everything else, that's wrong, but a lot of other things haven't changed. Oh, sorry, no, have changed. So anyone who's practiced with their stuff that has changed knows what they're doing and can keep catch you cold-footed. So once you've had a few more games against these things, it'll become more apparent of what they can and can't do because they don't do what they did before. So whereas people playing against like the likes of Union, and this is like, I'm not trying to say Union aren't good anymore, but people playing against Union is like Union still do what Union did, which they were good at and are still good at. But if you knew what they did in season 3, they haven't got any new surprises.
I guess that will stabilize, though, won't it?
Sorry?
That will stabilize, won't it, though, to some degree, at least.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're saying, what have you got to do against it? And it's like, well, I'll get a few more games against it, I think. Like, just get used to what things do now. Like, get used to the fact that Cena can do 3 attacks and, like, the output that model has. With, like, because the thing is, like, going back to Scalpel, I think she's really good, but... Excuse me. She's not unbeatable. And she's got her weaknesses, as has everyone. Like, for one, her counter-attacks are absolute turd.
Basically, she hasn't got any, has she? Effectively.
The only one she's got is if they're a 1-inch model and she hasn't used Spirit Bomb.
Yeah, that's basically it.
That is it.
Yeah.
Everything else is just do damage, or that's it, unless so, they haven't gone base to base.
If you can go into a punch in the face...
That's how I swung the game against Barry. Well, that was one of the reasons. Like, I was behind, and he was just pushing me in. And I backed off, went round the corner, went off to one side, because I was up on clock, because I hadn't really done anything. Then I managed to get a situation where I got the ball, had a tooled up Decimate, and passed the ball to Decimate, who was then within walking range of Scalpel. So that's four attacks with a tooled up Decimate against Scalpel doing 12 damage, because you're just doing momentous three on two hits, which means that I win the momentum race and then go into the start of the next turn. I think anecdotally, she only had three health left, because I think she'd taken one elsewhere, and then just kill her and run away. And it's like, ah, okay, right. So she is definitely killable. You'd like, I think the best way to do it, unless you've got like a heavy, heavy output model, is to like top and bottom her over a turn. And then that then meant that Barry didn't have any major threats on the board at that point.
Oh, you mean kill her at the end, so kill her at the beginning of a turn before she activates?
Yeah, just like, unless you've got, yeah, she's definitely a model you want to kill at the start of a turn, because she comes on so much threat range.
Yeah, you want to engage her at the end of a turn, do damage to her, and then at the beginning of the turn, yeah, finish off killing her.
Yeah, and then, as is often the way I find with plot cards, it's turn five, so we've only got one game plan. So Barry has to play his game plan. It happens to be that you get plus two move when you bring a model back on. It's like, oh, good. Oh, good. So, sorry, how far does Scalpel go when she comes back on? Oh, 9 inches. Lovely, lovely. And sorry, just for the record, what can she sprint now? Oh, 11 inches. Excellent, excellent. That's very good.
Play against Martin yesterday, and he had Shank on the table, and he played the comeback on plus two move after being taken out card on Shank. And Shank came on fast ground, and I was wounded targets, yeah. And so he had plus six to his move.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can go anywhere on the board.
Yeah, so like these teams have got, they've definitely got weaknesses. It's just, like I say, the tactics that I think are perhaps, excuse me, worked in season three don't work as well. I think Grace is going to be, again, in certain matchups, I need to use Grace more to break the standoff.
How so?
For sure. Because of the movement buff.
Okay.
Like, against things like Hunters or anyone, like, because like against Aaron, we had our lines that were sort of in a standoff, and I couldn't go over and engage him because he'd just kill anything that went over there. But then that sort of left me sort of flapping in the wind with not really anything to do.
How about other guilds? Like, are we interested in seeing what happens at Worlds? I think a few players are looking, taking Butchers, aren't they? Is that right?
I honestly don't know. I genuinely don't know. I imagine, yeah, it would certainly be interesting to see what people turn up. How many people is it in the final? Is it 16?
I believe so, yes.
I've lost track of what's going on.
16, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what people early doors look at. I've spoken to a few people, and I won't say what they've said that they're going to take, because they may not want it out there. But yeah, my hot take would be Morticians, Hunters, Blacksmiths, I think. But I mean, I don't think I'm not telling anyone the secrets of the Enigma code here. I think this is quite obvious stuff. I think interesting, like Fish haven't. I haven't seen a lot of fish around in season four.
No, but I guess it's early days yet. I mean, were there any players who would play fish normally that didn't play fish?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'd be interesting. And I know a few people who have played a lot of fish who aren't looking at playing fish in season four. So I don't know if that...
Did it change, or because the thing they're not good anymore?
It might be the lack of change. It may be a bit of the kind of, for me, the union thing, and that they've sort of changed a bit, but like not a lot, like not really, not, and like Corsair, if you're using Corsair to fight,
yeah,
he's just kind of got a little bit worse at it. But I think people are underestimating how good he is still at fighting. Like, I mean, I know Kumba,
his legendary is pretty scary.
Sorry,
his controls are good, isn't it? Yeah,
I'm just gonna have a free dragon and six attacks on you, not a problem, thank you very much. And whilst they've still got Gutter, that's quite scary.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
The card...
Well, they have at the moment.
No, they haven't. The card for Fisherman Season 4 didn't have Gutter on it. for the union choices.
Oh, did not?
No. Well, hang on. I said that out with authority, and I'm not sure whether I'm true or not. I'm almost certain that's correct.
I had not heard anyone mention that. Have you got the cards with you to have a quick live action hot take?
Talk. You can talk for a bit. I'll find them. Hang on.
What, you mean I finally get 5 minutes to chat?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay, I'm going to have to carry this poor show of a podcast over the line then. Yeah, I think also Fish, like Shark didn't change at all, and he probably didn't need to because he was super good at what he did anyway. And none of the kind of core staple models overly changed massively. Hag hasn't changed.
Fisherman intro card that came with the deck had on it the Navigator models, so Fishermen have no union picks, even now.
Really? But that's interesting because they haven't got Navigators either.
So there's no Gutter Corsair combination, for example.
I did not know that. Sounds like cheating.
Why? Did someone do it on Saturday? It's on Saturday.
Oh no, because there was no Fish players, but I just wanted to say it sounds like cheating, to be honest.
Bears down, but I mean they can't do weird combinations with sort of, you know, union models and everything else.
Yeah, okay, well there's another event next week, so it'll be interesting to see. I think the other thing is, like, people who are known Fish players, like Connor and that, he's not, as far as I'm aware, and if I am speaking on behalf of Connor, not with his authority or blessing, and thankfully I have no idea what's going on in his head, and nor do I wish to. He's been playing Union recently. Well, you played him the other day. He's playing Union. I think he's played Masons. I don't know if that was...
Union Masons, the player of the team I've seen him play recently.
Yasons,
that's right.
Yeah, that's it, Yasons. The beloved combination of Union with the Minor Guild Masons.
Masons are not Minor Guild, are they?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm sort of running out of steam and quite hungry, so I want to go get my lunch. And I think people have... probably heard enough uninsightful drivel about Union.
There's been some quality content there and a lot of talking, so that'll do, I think, for now. Thank you for that, Jason. And you should stick with Blackheart. You know, you'll do well with him, I'm sure. Stick with him.
I'm sticking with him to the LCQ. LCQ at least.
Yeah, is that on the Friday or the Saturday?
I presume the Friday, but I don't know, because I must admit, okay, we were going to wrap this up, and now we're just like, anyone who doesn't want to hear us just having a discussion, stop listening now.
Entire podcast.
Right, and anyone who wants to hear us try and figure out what date the LCQ is on, it's probably worth listening for another 5 to 10 minutes while we try to discuss a program that we don't know about. Is it not, are they doing a cut like they did at US Nationals?
I don't know. I'm trying now to find the program, but I've got no idea where it'll be.
I don't think it's up yet.
Is it not?
I reckon this is where we should probably say, follow me at andrew.underscore.gb.singledout.com. And where can people...
GB.
Fine, follow me there. And where can they follow you?
They can follow you at... what's your account? I have no idea what your account even is. JMountain84, is it to me? Is that right?
I don't know. We'll wrap it up here and say thank you very much for listening. And then we'll have a pause. And then me and Andrew will carry on talking.
Right. Bye.
Oh, you're still recording?